Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning, June. Is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. This is a numbers game, live from Circa. What's happening, my man?
Not much. Just to answer your question, it's bright for me in here every day, sitting next to a star like you.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why he started this way.
This is bright here, though.
It is. It's a bit glary in here today, isn't it? Stadium lights are on. We have a great show, as always, on Friday. Hour number two. Does it get better than Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob?
Yeah, really?
I don't think it does. Football Friday. Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Felica and Dr. Bob with college football. Well, Felica might have some pro as well. And Steve Fezzik always with the pro games, the look-aheads as well.
Mm-hmm.
Week 16, week 17.
I bet a look-ahead for next week, and it was not on his list, so.
Oh, okay. Did he provide us with a list?
He did, yes.
Okay. We'll get into that. This hour, Paul Carr on the Premier League, Jason Weingarten as well from Under a Cloud of Smoke, and our NFL bets, plus everybody's favorite segment on Friday. Joe Pita inspired, by the way. Are we sure? Are we sure about different things in the NFL? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Estamos seguros, for those listening in Spanish. We'll do that momentarily. We have to start with the game last night, though. Thursday night football between the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. Felt like a home game for the Broncos, if you were listening to the background noise in this. But the Chargers get it done 34-27. They get to 9-6. The Broncos fall to 9-6. Neither team has clinched a playoff berth yet, but if you're looking at playoff probability, Chargers are at 97%. The Broncos are at 85% based on some measurements of that. And both could still advance this weekend with losses to other teams.
You did have a big mover in that, though. The big mover was Cincinnati.
Yes.
Who goes up to 10%, I believe, now. Ooh.
10%. I don't know if you guys know this. 10% ain't 0%.
That's right.
Broncos would be in with a... Cincinnati loss, Indianapolis loss, Miami loss this weekend. Chargers would be in with an Indianapolis loss and a Miami loss this weekend. But they have chances, of course, after this weekend. Let's do this a little bit of guessing line style because there was enough interesting things happening here. Chargers came out 3 and out. Denver immediately 10 plays, 72 yards. Audric Estimayan from 3-7-0 Denver halfway through the first quarter. Then the Chargers, who had given up 37 straight points at this point without scoring themselves, they finally score. 8 plays, 70 yards. Gus in from 1, 7-7. Broncos, man, they had no problem in the first half. This was really a tale of two halves. Broncos, 12 plays, 70 yards. Nicks to Michael Burton from 1 out, 14-7. Then a Dicker field goal from 37 to cut it to 10-7 after the Chargers had a loss of 2.5 yards on the 3rd and inches, so they had to settle 14-10. And then Denver, third drive of the game, third straight touchdown drive. 6 plays, 70 yards. Nicks to Devon Villet from 6 out to make it 21-10. That touchdown, by the way, was after an illegal man downfield penalty was called on the play, if you recall. Then mysteriously, the flag, and wrongly, by the way, picked up by the officials. Mysteriously and officially called, for no particular reason. Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit asked, is it Terry McCauley who was the referee consultant, I believe?
Oh, man, I don't know.
By the way, I always call it Terry McCauley, no matter who it is.
I'm like,
is that Terry McCauley? But they asked him, you know, was that a real flag? Should it have been a flag? He's like, no, you're right. It shouldn't have been a flag. I don't know why they picked it up. There was a legitimate follow-up question to that, which would have been, well, then why did they pick it up? Because I wanted to hear, you know, Terry McCauley, I believe it was. I wanted to hear him say, well, because Sean Payton was bitching and moaning. But they never got around to saying that. So they get the touchdown. It's 21-10 Denver at that point. They would trade punts. Chargers would then get the ball second and eight. They would matriculate second and eight down to the Denver 25. Herbert picked by Chris Abrams drain. And then that's when it started to get interesting. 21-10, because after a Denver three and out, Chargers get the ball back. They were prepared to let the time run out in the half. If you saw this, you know what I'm talking about here.
I had changed channels.
Okay.
A lot of people had switched over to NBA. Yep.
A lot of people had. Wishnev had as well, he said. So the Chargers were prepared to let the time run out on the half. And now Denver's got the ball. But in all his infinite wisdom, Peyton decides on second down from their own 15 with 17 seconds left in the half. They decide to call a pass play. Incomplete.
What are you doing?
And Jim Harbaugh immediately toggled to, well, I mean, I should probably call timeout after this third down play.
Just force my hand.
What the hell? See what happens. And so he does, right? With 8 seconds left, he calls timeout. Now you're probably still thinking to yourself, well, what could possibly happen? How about this? Fair catch interference on the subsequent punt by Denver's Tremont Smith on Darius Davis, which then brought the ball to the Broncos 47-yard line because of the fair catch interference call. And this triggered something that hasn't happened successfully in the NFL since 1976, which they informed us on the broadcast last night. Ray Wershing successfully converted a free kick at the end of a half in 1976 when he was playing for the Chargers, as a matter of fact. Joey Sly actually tried one in 2019 that failed. I did not remember that. But Cameron Dicker...
Was that the last one attempted?
That was the last one attempted.
Really?
2019.
See, I was texting with a buddy last night. I told him, because he didn't know the rule at all. I told him, I was like, I actually feel like this happens more often than we realize, but apparently not.
Bill Belichick knew the rule. I remember that. He had all, you know, he knew about drop kicks and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure Harbaugh did until he was told yesterday.
I'm not sure he did either.
Yeah.
But Harbaugh's so, like, impossible to figure out because he's got the angry, confused look. It's just, like, pasted on him always. Yeah, exactly.
Karma, angry, confused. So what ends up happening is because they throw an incomplete pass, Jim Harbaugh, you know, which is a terrible play call because the risk-reward assessment there from your own, you know, 15-yard line, with 17 seconds left is ridiculous. You should never allow for that. Harbaugh correctly calls timeout. They get the 57-yard free kick. Dicker converts it. Instead of a 21-10 halftime score, where the Broncos should have easily gone into the half up 11, it's 21-13. Now, the fair catch kick, the rule, after a fair catch is made or is awarded as a result of fair catch interference, the receiving team has the option of putting the ball in play by a snap or fair catch kick, a drop kick or a place kick they could have done without a tee from the spot of the catch or the succeeding spot after enforcement of any applicable penalties. The kick must be drop kick or place kick, as I said. If it goes between the goalposts and over the crossbar, the kicking team scores 3 points. The defense must stand at least 10 yards from the line of scrimmage, and the kicking team cannot use a tee. Once again, I said that. On a fair catch kick, the ball does not have to be snapped, and the kicker can have a bigger running start before kicking the ball. Yeah. Imagine if he had taken like a 20-yard run on it. Essentially, it's just like a kickoff attempt, but with a holder instead of a tee. By the way, it's also not technically a field goal, even though it goes in the box score as one. It's a fair catch kick. That's what they said in the rules right there.
Oh.
It acts like 3 points, like a field goal. Anyway.
So wait, does it gets counted as a field goal attempt, though?
I believe it does, even though technically it's not. I would need a more keen statistician to tell me that. Anyway, Ray Wershing did it back in November of 1976, Chargers against the Bills. Third quarter, so it's 21-13. Now it's 24-13 after a Lutz field goal. By the way, and then Derwin James gave the motivational halftime speech, they said, to get the Chargers when they were down 21-13. And make this like reason 507 why I could never be a professional football player. I think I would be impervious to the motivational halftime speech. I would be very Larry David about it.
The problem is there's a very thin line between like, wow, that was awesome, motivational, and man, this is so cheesy. I've heard the same thing a million times.
I'd be like, Derwin, stop being such a nudnik. Let's just get back out there and play. It's like if we had a bad first hour and you're like, come on, Gil, do better. I'd be like, all right, Kelly, settle down.
And like Derwin James, like maybe a little overrated his career so far.
Oh,
or heading in for where he was drafted at, expectations we had.
He's still pretty great. 24-13 Denver. Chargers, 10 plays, 70 yards. Gus in from 5 after a bad unnecessary roughness penalty. Not that it was wrong. It was a correct call. On the previous play, Denver's Justin Strnad on 3rd and 13 for the Chargers from the Broncos 18. He just kind of like, it's that one of those, you know, he slides and then he grazes him a little bit. Yeah. One angle did show that he nicked him in the head, so I guess you have to call it. But it ends up being a Chargers touchdown. So they missed the two-point conversion, though. So 24-19 at this point. Denver 3 and out. Denver couldn't do anything in the second half. Chargers 7 plays, 78 yards. Herbert to Darius Davis from 19 out. Two-point try to Joshua Palmer that deflected the line of scrimmage. Then he deflected it to himself. 27-24 Chargers. Then after they trade punts, Denver, after running the ball on 2nd and 20, another Sean Payton, what are you doing? After running the ball on 2nd and 20, they end up with 4th and 6 at the Denver 49 with 4:35 left. Remember, they're down a touchdown. He punts. They do have 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning. But Kelly, 4:35 left, 4th and 6 at the Denver 49. You're down 7. Do you punt there?
I'm going.
I am too.
That was my initial instinct.
Initial instinct was you go.
I don't think it's a...
It's not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Correct, yeah.
But if it's another coach, we lambaste him. If this was Antonio Pierce, we would murder him.
I would like to think my answer would be the same.
I would like to think it would be too. Anyway, Chargers, they're like, thank you very much. After a Herbert 16-yard run on 3rd and 10 from their own 10, Gus for 43. 2 plays later to Hassan Haskins for 34, touchdown. And it's a 10-point game with 2:27 left. Pardon me very much. Pardon me about that. Then Peyton correctly, and I love this, right? Like, if you play Madden, you know to do this. He kicks the field goal first, down 2 scores. Yep. 55-yarder for Lutz with 55 seconds left. But they do declare the onside kick. It fails. Ball game. Onside kicks this year, 3 of 46. 6.5% success rate. Chargers win at 34-27. And Justin Herbert, youngest quarterback, most completions in league history before turning 27 years old. How about that? All right.
Still overrated.
Our NFL bets. And are we sure? Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And Derwin, don't be such a nut-dick. The college football playoffs kick off today, and there's no better way to get game ready than with VSiN's college football playoff betting guide. This must-have guide is packed with everything you need to make smarter bets, including in-depth previews of every first-round matchup, a full college football playoff overview with exclusive insights from top bookmakers, team breakdowns, custom playoff brackets, power ratings and analysis, and bowl picks for every game from Steve Mackinnon and the Godfather, Brent Musburger. Sign up now with our holiday special to get the guide plus full Visa Pro access to everything we do through May 1st, 2025, all for just $79. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in this deal today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. You pumped for the playoff tonight?
Let's go, man. This is going to be awesome. The next couple days are going to be crazy.
Oh, tomorrow's ridiculous. One game tonight, college football playoff, 3 tomorrow, plus 2 NFL games. Tomorrow is going to be bananas.
It will be.
And again, I think the thing I worry about is if you go to these secondary ticket markets, these first round games, the prices have crashed because the kids aren't in school. You know, they spent their Christmas money if they have any to begin with. And if you are saving for money, you're more likely to try to go to a subsequent round game like the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the story is going to be. I mean, they thought, you know, at these stadiums for the home team, that's a great idea on paper, but we'll see based on the time of the calendar that it falls if it ends up being a success.
You are right. I hadn't really thought that much about that before. It's going to be interesting to see that. I think it was Mike Gold Jr. I saw this morning tweet out a video, though. It's like Notre Dame. Like, there's a line of cars in massive snow waiting to get inside of Notre Dame at like 7 a.m. this morning local time. So, Notre Dame, I don't think is going to have a problem just because of the storied history of the school, right? And how many people just even in the local area love to go.
I also don't think it's necessarily something that someone points out on the broadcast if it's,
maybe either,
you know, if it's like a couple sections are empty.
So like Florida State, that game historically was always like on Thanksgiving weekend. But you would have that problem, like,
yes,
at both schools, and I've been to it multiple times, but there's way less students there that should be there because they're all home for Thanksgiving.
We get tweets at Beatty the Book. You guys are the best. This is a Ryan Hyatt. Don't miss ANG Dump Button Friday in hour number 2. as Gil and Kelly hope and pray their guests remember they're on live radio TV, not on the Megapod. By the way, how about you on the Megapod yesterday? People were saying Kelly shows up and all of a sudden we're on video, live video on Twitter and YouTube. Didn't work out so well on Twitter, I guess, the technical issues. But you
It's a good time. Thanks for having me, as always.
Hey, man.
Appreciate it.
Apparently, Kelly made it happen. Kelly's like, I'm going to wait until I'm on before video.
Yeah, not the reason at all. Nope.
Steve Fezzik, who will be on the show later. Steve Fezzik, NFL Friday. Bold prediction, he says in Capitals. 15 years from now, we'll all be saying I loved it when I could start my day with a numbers game every day, and we will be thinking Miss Robinson thoughts. Simon and Garfunkel, where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? A nation turns. A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. And Dan Abrams chimes in, I'll take 60s and Bancroft over Gil.
Is Fezzik saying that there's no way we could last 15 more years?
Well, what Fezzik is, let's break down what Fezzik is saying. He's like, I'm on the hour, so let me say something awesome about it. Yeah. The silent Mike D. I'm sure you're going to mention San Diego's free kick from last night. Well, Los Angeles's, yes. I believe it was used by Burt Reynolds' team in the original Longest Yard movie, which I'm sure you saw as a kid like me. I did not, believe it or not, I did not see that movie.
Oh, man.
Was it rated R? Because my mom wouldn't have let me see it. If it was
this
rated
is going to be really bad. I don't think I ever saw the original either. I saw the Adam Sandler remake, which was absolutely terrible. I can tell you that much.
There's a lot of movies that most people have seen that I haven't seen.
Burt Reynolds, who played football at Florida State.
You know the one that everybody references I've never seen is The Big Lebowski.
Oh my gosh!
Never see that movie. Is that the Shomer Shabbos movie? The one where that's...
Yes!
I know that clip.
You need to see that movie.
I know that clip.
It's fantastic.
Because he says Shomer Shabbos seven times. Touchdown Jesus. Timed out the Megapod for early Monday, Friday listening, leading right up to a numbers game. It's a holiday extravaganza with Gil and Kelly. Katie bar the door. Thank you, Jay. Tony Farmer. Few are talking about how important the injury bug this weekend could be for survivor entries on Christmas. 4 days is not enough to go through concussion protocol, even though there'll likely be nobody on those Saturday games. They could have huge implications. Amen. It's amazing how many things can go bad at this point.
Yeah.
By the way, there's one thing that I didn't talk to Derek about. If people brought this up, that they could have flexed out that Friday game.
Yep.
What if they had flexed the Friday, December 26th game? The Thursday, December 26th game. What if they had flexed that? Would that have destroyed this contest?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, that would have been like...
Is it bad? Is that one... That could have been flexed?
Yes, it could have been. Because it was Thursday. Because it's a Thursday game.
It's a regular Thursday game next week?
Yeah, so they could flex Thursdays. I mean, maybe they already knew that and they...
Feels like they must have known something that we don't know.
Because if that had happened, oh my God. I don't even want to speculate what the implications could have been. Jason H11, live Megapod on YouTube, my synopsis. One, next time advertise. Hey, give us a chance. It was just our first time. I didn't even know it during the show yesterday.
I didn't even know it
during a numbers game yesterday.
I learned it about 3 minutes before a numbers game ended, and Gil found out 3 minutes after.
Two, sorry, Gilly, but interrupting off the rails, Wishnev is the best. Oh, I know he is. Three, too much audiovisual. Top-notch audiovisual by Kelly and Todd. Gilly, not so much. Step up your game.
Bro, you really been doing that with a stick mic this whole year? You're talking about my game show host.
No, because we used to use the stand and it would buzz. I think it's... my connection in the middle of the strip is not good. And then four, make this a thing, he says. People were down with it. New Jersey, New York, GV. I've been listening to Gil talk gambling for over a decade at this point. Podcast and VSiN probably shaped how I approach things mentally more than any college professor I had. Thank you very much, New Jersey, New York. I appreciate that. And then Matt F., watching from the book today at Circa. Good to see they finally got the sound on for you guys. Hey, Matt, back there somewhere?
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
They'll figure it out soon.
And then Steve the Proxy is killing me. He goes, the Dicker kick was indeed listed as a field goal in the box score, because he can't really list it as anything else, right? He says, for fantasy purposes, it was also scored as a 57-yard field goal. Gil out here creating early morning fantasy playoff scoring arguments.
Well, it is one of those, like don't they do like the laterals and stuff, right? Like you can score a touchdown without having a carry or a catch, technically.
There's so many quirks with this kind of stuff. Remember the Tua...
Sorry, I'm always going to ask because stuff like that. Yeah.
Because remember the one where Tua got docked all the yards on the laterals of the pitchy pitchy woo woo at the end? Yeah.
By the way, can I go back to this is where we're at in 2024. You were asking about Terry McCauley. Was Terry McCauley?
Yeah.
This was my Google search. Okay. Google search. Amazon Prime ref consultant on NFL. First thing that gets returned. Watch now. The Consultant season one on Amazon Prime.
Who hasn't seen that?
This is where we're at now in 2024.
All right. As far as our bets this weekend, I have the Commanders plus 3.5. That was a guessing lines bet I made. As soon as I guessed 3 in that game, Philly minus 3 on the road against Washington. Kelly said 3.5. I said, disrespectful. I'm on the Commodores. Philly's games have really followed this, by and large, the same script, which is a team plays with them for about 2.5 quarters, and then they wear you out at the end of games. Remember, Cincinnati was tied with them through 2.5 quarters. They ended up winning by 21. The first Washington game kind of played that way as well. I'm going to hope that Cliff Kingsbury and crew try to game plan to keep their own defense off the field so that they can not be worn out. I like the hook. I took Washington plus 3.5, a franchise that always gives Philly fits, even in the best of times for the Eagles. I did add the Bears plus 6.5. Remember when Drew was on here earlier in the week and he had the poo-poo platter of picks?
Yep.
I'm with him on the Bears. The Lions are so banged up, and I know. Do I want to live through 6.5 hours? Three and a half hours of the Caleb Williams experience. Even though I'm getting 6.5 points, I do not. But I do think that's too many points at this point, given all the Lions' injuries. So I'm on the Bears for better or worse, plus 6.5.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one to sweat out. Let's see. I have Rams laying 3 on the road against the Jets. And the Jets have been a little bit more feisty than I was expecting. But, man, this Rams offense outside of that first half in San Francisco, the passing game's really been clicking. New York a little banged up in the secondary. I like them just laying 3 this week on the road. Giants-Falcons under for me. I bet it at 42. There's 43s out there, though, right now. This is, like, we talked about it a lot on the Megapod yesterday. Just prove it to me, Penix, that you're going to go in there and not look like a true rookie quarterback. I'm close to pulling the trigger on the Giants, too. Like, 8.5, over 8 against a rookie. It's just a rookie quarterback. Like, I know the Falcons got weapons, but, like, this is a guy that has not played at all. He's laying 8.5 points.
You going to sprinkle some on the money line?
I don't know if I have the stones to go that
let's
far.
Let's not get crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if I have the stones to go that far. And then, okay, favorite bet of the week, Bucks team total over 26.5. I also have the Bucks and Bucks and Ravens together in a money line parlay. I don't think the Cowboys are slowing down the Bucks. The Bucks have gone over this number in, I think it was 6 of the last 7 games when I looked it up yesterday. I don't think the Cowboys are really slowing down what this Bucks offense is doing right now. So team total over 26.5. That's my favorite of the week.
You want to start, are we sure, with a couple right here and then continue into the next segment?
Are we sure, speaking of the Falcons, that they can't win the NFC South?
We are not 100% sure about that because they have swept the Buccaneers. So it's going to take one stumble. And if Michael Penix turns out to be great Michael Penix, then there's a shot. So we're not sure. We're not 100% sure.
Okay.
And we're likely sure,
trying
but
to
we're
get
not 100%
sure. On that one. He's been pretty Captain Bucks here the past month or so.
Captain Bucks, that's what they call me.
Okay, hold on. Are we sure Patrick Mahomes should be playing this week?
I am not sure about that.
Really?
I'm not, but he's not even on the injury report. Like, he's in.
I know.
They're trying to get the number one seed. Buffalo is still, you know, chasing. So I'm not 100% sure he should be playing because I don't know the extent of his injury. But if there's any trouble with it, rest might have been a good thing. But hey, he's playing. More Are We Sure? And Paul Carr next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted. I know that's you. Introducing Sportrade, the app that's going to change sports betting. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service, Sportrade. Perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sportrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download Sportrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Y'all are the best. This is from Sarah at Travel Switch Shop. Sarah says, happy college football playoff day from the tailgating lots at Notre Dame. Definitely hitting the over on brown drinks today, she says.
Oh, that is awesome. You're there right now? That's great.
She's there
right now. Numbers game, blasting for the tailgate?
Right
now. Sweet. That is great.
Kevin Ryan, Gil, I still do not understand why the NFL makes the teams declare the onside kick. Can you illuminate, please? The reason can't be for everybody to hear the next morning you say, I do declare. No, it's because the way that the kickoff formations are now, you would have to declare it because otherwise the kicking team is all the way down there based on where the kicker is kicking from. So you have to allow them to align 10 yards from the line of scrimmage kind of thing. This is for B. Miller. Just texted with a buddy about how much it would be to go today. Looking like 800 to 900 for the Notre Dame game. So I'm completely wrong about that game tonight. That's for sure.
Yeah, that could just be that's just Notre Dame being Notre Dame.
Yeah, they got those kids aren't hard up for cash.
Like
money.
Ohio State, Texas, I probably wouldn't. I would not expect huge problems with either.
Joe C714 reporting from SoFi. We were all confused on that kick catch interference call. Also, we were all on the Chargers side, and lots of Broncos fans were next to us. Yeah, thank you for that on the scene report there, Nish Gandhi. I think Beaver Stadium will be pretty full for the game for the same reason Kelly gave for Notre Dame. I'll send a picture tomorrow. And, Gil, you need to watch Lebowski. Xavier 82. Good morning, gentlemen. Let's have a great day and an awesome weekend in sports handicap. Oh, he's giving me the Derwin speech at that point. Xavier, don't be such a nutnik. Love yesterday's show with the Crackman or Crackle Pergam. What did he call himself? Crackle Pergam or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I was sitting there in the back of it. My last name is a straight Ellis Island chop, too.
Yeah.
It is, because my dad's family is extremely Polish, and it was like Bidlin and Oskadidi or something. They were like, yeah, we're going to stop it right there. Yeah. Chop.
Yeah, mine was far beyond Ellis Island. By the way, he says, love the show. Thank you, Xavier. Topher Baron. Gilly Ice, I'm in Vegas for my birthday right now, and although I have a reservation at the Italian-American Club tonight, a quick reference to the sushi spot would be really nice. Hey, your first sushi reference in a long time. Game Time Jones, another banger of a megapod. Nothing better than the unofficial intro of Todd shuffling actual pieces of paper when going over weekly records.
That really is the best. Just of when you listen. If you listen on a weekly basis, the fact it when you see it, too, like, I mean, I was a part of it yesterday. When you see it, it's not nearly as bad as what it sounds like. It sounds like he's doing it right into the microphone on purpose.
That kid doesn't care. And then this is Nick. Real Nick says, nothing to do with gambling, but I have the same exact shirt Kelly has on. Husky Men Rule.
Which one? The T-shirt or the T-shirt or the quarter zip?
Oh, that's a good point.
Either way.
Wait to think of it. He goes, wait to think about it. This is about gambling because it's a risk to dress like Kelly, LOL. Oh, took a shot at Kelly.
Hey,
oh, fine. I lied. One more. Torch D. Bad night last night. We were chasing our losses after the NFL game. As my buddy goes to lock in a live bet on the San Jose Sharks, he asked me, hey, there are three periods in hockey, right? Pro tip, don't chase. Thank you, George D. I appreciate the honesty on that. We'll continue, great. Are we sure? But let's do it with Paul Carr. Let's bring Paul Carr in for this, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He comes to us from Topeka, Kansas, to talk some Premier League. We'll get to his Premier League picks as well. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Looking sharp in his quarter zip right there. Fresh Christmas haircut. How you doing, man?
Ready to go, yeah. Taking the next couple weeks off after this, so we're finishing up strong with you.
All right. Are we sure? Let's bring in Paul Farr. Are we sure?
All right, gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Are we sure Josh Allen has locked up the MVP?
You want to go first, Paul?
As sure as we can be. I mean, sure, if he gets hurt and Barkley or something rushes for 500 yards in a couple games, maybe. But, yeah, I think so. Even though Lamar Jackson's probably having a better year this year than he did last year when he won the MVP.
Yep.
But it's really hard for me to see Josh Allen not winning this.
I'm going to say no, we're not sure, because, again, he's got 34 touchdowns and three picks, talking about Lamar Jackson. If he ends up with, again, I just want to say this one more time, if he ends up with 43-3, he's got three games left. Let's say he goes three touchdowns, no picks the last three games. That will be the greatest touchdown to interception ratio in the history of the National Football League, and he has an outside shot at 1,000 yards, and they could still win the division. And he's got two primetime games, or standalone games, I should say, in the next 2 weeks against the Steelers. Not the next 2 weeks, but really a short week against the Steelers and then against the Texans on Christmas.
All right. I completely agree with you, Gil. However, if I wasn't already involved, I would not be betting it at plus 550.
I would agree with that.
Okay. All right. Are we sure the Eagles should be the favorite to win the NFC? Paul Carr, what say you?
I think the Eagles are the safest pick. So, yes, I'm sure. The Lions may have more upside, but they also have more downside, as Gil has documented well the last few weeks. So, yes, I am sure the Eagles should be the favorite to win the NFC.
I think he's right. I agree with Paul. I think he's correct. And I think the Eagles, as we talked about with, I want to say with Drew, is which of the three teams, the Eagles, Lions, or Vikings, benefits most from home field if they get it throughout the NFC playoffs? And the answer is the Eagles resoundingly.
All right. Are we sure? Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston, and Will Levis all should have been benched heading into this week.
All of them. The question is all of them, Paul.
No, we're not. Why are you benching Jameis Winston? I mean, DTR is your answer moving forward. We know that's not the case. And who, again, upside, downside. Jameis gives you more upside and more downside. So might as well take a shot at entertain us, darn it.
God, I love Paul Carr.
I'm with Paul because I don't know about the Jameis thing, but I will say this about Kirk Cousins, a guy that I'm not shy about. Like, Kirk Cousins, nicest guy in the world. A flawed football player, to be sure, and terrible the last 5 weeks. But we are absolutely not sure that they're making the right move. They could still make the playoffs, and they're going with the kid. It could be an awful move. We don't know yet.
I think one of the more entertaining ones is the Levis decision, because, like, don't you have to figure out what you have with that kid?
I think we figured it out already.
You think we figured it out already? We're in DTR territory?
I'm pretty sure we figured it out. Yeah, we're pretty sure of that. All right. One question. Will you accept a question from Twitter before we get your picks?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, this is from, now I got to find it,
there was like multiple, about Crystal Palace.
This is from Tim Lawson at The Better Life, our dear friend Tim Lawson, who is also the Megapod historian, Tim Lawson, who informed us earlier this week that Nick Bakay had been on a Megapod in 2011. Did not know that. Question for Paul Carr, he says, should we take Crystal Palace's recent form seriously? Are they a play to finish top half at 10-1, top half of the Premier League table?
Yes, I mean, Palace is unbeaten, I think, 5 straight Premier League games. I don't think they're quite that good. They struggled really early, looked like they were relegation fodder, but they're running cold then, and they're running hot now, I guess. 10-1, I mean, it's hard to argue against that, but there are, you know, there's 5-6 kind of locks for the top half, and then there's 8-9 teams for the other 4-5 spots. So they've got a lot of ground to make up. I mean, they're 7 points off the pace, and 2 or 3 teams are on that 7-point mark. So 10-1, I don't hate it, but I don't think that Palace is as good as they have been the last few games.
Yeah, and roughly, and a little more than half the Premier League season still to go, right? Like 22 games kind of thing.
Yep.
Okay, your picks for this weekend, a 3-pack from Paul Carr. And you were saying off air, you've been really schizophrenic. 3-0 weeks and 0-3 weeks, you're all over the place here.
Yeah, last 4 Premier League weeks, 2 sweeps and 2 overs. So take your chances here.
Well, let's do the sweep one, Paul. How about that?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's choose that.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Why didn't I think of that? Let's start tomorrow. We're going to bet against Man City again. So if I told you something has hit in 10 of the last 11 games, you'd probably want to play that. And City only has 1 win in their last 11 games, so I'm taking Aston Villa double chance. I got this at minus 135. It's creeping closer to minus 150 now because City has a couple injury issues. Wouldn't go anything past that. Villa's unbeaten in Premier League and Champions League games at home since losing their opener to Arsenal, so 10 straight. They play better at home. The City injury issues, they haven't figured it out. I have Aston Villa double chance minus 135. If you're feeling a little braver, you could take them to win at plus 215 or so.
And explain for the new folks again the double chance, Paul?
Yeah, win or draw, or some books is just plus half a goal. And it depends. Sometimes they even have different markets that you get slightly different prices on the two on the same book.
All right, and also tomorrow?
Also tomorrow, Ipswich Town, over half a goal in the first half against Newcastle. Ipswich Town, newly promoted team. They have been a classic play well first half, run out of gas in the second half type of team. Over half their goals have been in the first half, 11 out of 15, and they've scored in 9 of their 16 first halves this season. And Newcastle's kind of been the opposite. They've conceded in 9 of 16 first halves and 6 of 8 on the road. So give me an Ipswich Town goal in the first half at plus 135.
And the rare double-double chance weekend. Another double chance on Sunday.
Double-double chance. We're going against both Manchester teams. I got Bournemouth double chance, minus 105 at Manchester United. Bournemouth's been better than United has all season. I'm not totally buying into United under their new coach yet, even though they beat City last week. They really didn't play very well and got a kind of couple fortunate goals late. United will be pressured by Bournemouth. That'll give them trouble. So I like Bournemouth to get the winner draw at United, minus 105.
All right. Saturday, tomorrow, while you're watching American football, Aston Villa double chance versus Man City, Ipswich Town over a half a first half goal, plus 135 versus Newcastle, and then on Sunday, another double chance. Bournemouth double chance at Man U. Paul, thank you as always, man, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas season to everyone at the Numbers Game, too.
Thank you so much. Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr on Twitter. Jason Weingarten is on the other side. All of his bets, it's a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nothing, and I mean nothing, delivers comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. Once again, just take a look at that steak, Kelly. Look at that thing. Oh, man.
I had a couple of them the other day.
Would you eat a steak right now, this moment? I would.
Yeah, I would.
I totally would.
Do you ever eat before the show? I don't know.
I do not. So
this makes me hungry every time we talk about a lot of steak.
Save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com. There's still time to send the gift of Omaha Steaks for Christmas. Order by today, the end of day, end of business, for delivery just in time for Christmas. And again, 50% off site-wide for a limited time. At omahasteaks.com, and that limit is coming to an end. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. We got tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. James Spivey. By the way, clarification on the longest yard. He said, Burt Reynolds drop-kicked in the longest yard for 2 points. They gave him 2 points for the drop-kick.
Oh.
On the longest yard. Remember when Belichick had Flutie do a drop-kick?
Yeah.
They were so happy, the two of them. They were so excited.
Wasn't it one of those they'd like wanted to do forever or something?
I think that was it, because they're such football purists. They were like so giddy. Bruce Dobigan, Bo Nix has the shortest name of any starting quarterback in the NFL. In NFL history, he says. He'd be great in a short series. That's it. That's all I've got. Merry Christmas. I don't know what that meant.
Thanks, Bruce.
Merry Christmas, Bruce. Aaron Bender took a shot at the Bengals 150-1 to win the Super Bowl after the Chargers win last night. FYI, homer pick. Sounds like it. Sounds like a homer pick. O'Dale at O'Dandy Doo. He says, regarding public school betting, our head football coach was our history teacher that focused on current events, quote-unquote, meaning our assignment was to read the newspaper. Of course, we used this time to handicap Keeneland races, betting lunch money on ponies. This is a reference to our conversation with the crack man yesterday. Eric B., not that Eric B., not Rakim's Eric B., but a different Eric B., at Iceberg_MT. Says, Kelly looking pretty fit these days. Gil, I have not seen that shirt before. You guys are looking pretty drippy. Keep up the great work. I think drippy is good. That's what the kids say.
I think so, too. I did maybe tell Rob Moreno to log this date, because Gil and I are both wearing something brand new for the first time, I think.
Oh, this is not
brand new.
Maybe
you've worn this once or twice.
I wore this on Thanksgiving, but I used to wear this 5-6 years ago.
Oh.
It's not new at all, yeah. Not at all. It's a holiday-ish kind of spirited thing. Maybe I'll wear it on Christmas next week, where Kelly will not be here, because Kelly's going on vacation.
That's right.
Oh, here we go. Jeffrey S. DeVore, thank you so much for this. Current cheapest StubHub ticket prices for the 4 college football games. You ready for this? Current cheapest StubHub ticket. Notre Dame, $416. Notre Dame tonight, $416.
Okay.
Texas, $91. Ohio State, $59. Penn State, $33.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because that's got to be the college kid campus you're most worried about them showing up for.
Yes, that's my point.
Or people other than students showing up.
Yeah. Had it been Texas SMU, he says, the prices would likely be north of 3 figures. Clemson beat SMU, so not sure why they were the 12 seed, he goes on. Roger Jones. Guys, I think you're correct. It's tough to measure. This is what we were talking about on the Megapod yesterday, how people were playing the headlines, were making plays on Michael Penix getting the starting job. I don't think I'll read them on this radio.
I didn't even see the tweet, but I had a feeling where that one was going.
Also, more must be made about the Winston benching. The Brownies have been propping Watson up for years again, and now they have the pulse to sit Winston? Roger Jones is not happy about that.
I'm glad that most people seem to agree with me on this.
C. Spackler, happy Hanukkah or Merry Christmas, gentlemen. I appreciate your work all year. Thank you, C. Spackler. And Brosek, 1870, Bears, Commanders, probably should just bet the Vikings for the number one seed. That's a shout-out to Will Hill. That's his favorite team. And Bill Hooker, I'm getting Omaha Steaks thanks to Bill 80 and the Morning Newsletter. How about that? Shout-out to the Morning Newsletter, which Bill 80 does such a great job while you're asleep. What does Brent say? Bill 80 working hard on the Morning Newsletter. I can't remember what
the Yeah, I forget what the exact line is, too. Working while you're sleeping, though, basically.
Oh, you're tomorrow because you're today, tonight is whatever the hell it was. Bill 80, great job with the newsletter, and Omaha Steaks there for Bill Hooker. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Comes to us from the Progressive guest line. Jason, how you doing, man? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Pretty good time of year.
I always love when you come on, because every once in a while you will text in advance and you'll say, oh, remind me, we got to talk about this, which you did this morning. You said, remind me to talk about the Arkansas Pine Bluff Hawaii women's college basketball game from earlier this week. Okay, I've reminded you. What was it?
So I think it was Monday night, and I was doing some live betting. You know, there was the football game and some NBA and whatnot, and I stumbled upon this game. I think it was the last basketball game of the night. The first quarter, the score was 9-2. Kind of took note. I was like, 9-2. That's a low scoring quarter. Maybe I'll bet the first half under live. Let's have some fun here. Second quarter, 12-7. So Hawaii's got a 21-9 lead at halftime here.
Second quarter explosion.
I think the third quarter line at this point is like Hawaii -3.5. There's no second half line. There's just quarter lines for some reason with this live betting. But clearly at this point, I'm not watching the game. I can't name a single player. I don't know a coach. I know nothing about these players in this sport, essentially. But I do know Arkansas Pine Bluff is several connecting commercial flights away from Hawaii. And, based on the score, I didn't think Arkansas Pine Bluff was going to come out and do anything of note in the second half. The third quarter was 25-0 for Hawaii. It's been on my bucket list. If you have a bucket list of gambling stuff, to see a scoreless quarter in a women's basketball game is something that I've been meaning to check off for a while. So not only was it actually a scoreless quarter, this is 10 minutes scoreless after halftime. The fourth quarter, it was 5-0. So 30-0 run out of halftime before Arkansas Pine Bluff scored its first points. I can't tell you what the final score was because I didn't even care at that point. All numbers came in on every under possible. Every spread with Hawaii possible was covered. But that's the thing. It's sometimes you kind of find something weird like that. And even at relatively small limits, it's enough to, turn a good week into a great week. And, it's always nice when you get something like that out of the way on a Monday.
That's a beautiful thing.
And then we got the drop kick, too. So,
yeah,
crossing all sorts of stuff off the list this week. What a week.
It truly is a season of miracles.
Yeah, it truly
is.
And now some Christmas music and Kelly's thoughts on the holidays.
Now looking at this schedule, though, like this is, okay, Arkansas Pine Bluff. What they've scored 62 points. 48 points, 58, 48, 39, 38, 24, 60, 43, and 15.
Well,
like what?
I think Jason sussed out the travel.
Wow. It's a travel thing. How many connecting flights does it take to get from Arkansas Pine Bluff to Hawaii? I mean, you got to go through Chicago or Dallas, and they're obviously all flying commercial. Like, it's a miserable flight. It's miserable overnight flights, and, they just didn't have it in them. If you want to, find an easy thing to start gambling on, just look at women's college basketball and find the most obnoxious travel situations that you would literally rather die than put yourself through, and bet against those teams.
That's a pro tip, ladies and gentlemen. Pro tip of the day. Pro tip.
Stay tuned for my master class.
Yes. Jason, you doing a master class anytime? They didn't call you?
No, I won't be doing anything like that.
Navigating the post office. Jason could do a master class on that.
Yes,
they lost a big package of mine, and currently it's been in transit for a month now. I'm currently dealing with that post office.
Handle it. Tread lightly, Jason. You know how this could go.
It's
slow time of year for them.
What did you bet in the NFL week number 16, sir?
I'll tell you one bet I made in college real quick is Ohio today against Jacksonville State. I know that money line keeps going up, but I do like Ohio a lot today. And I think that game starts in almost an hour.
It does. The Cure Bowl.
Yeah, the Cure Bowl.
We got Cure and Gasparilla today before the playoff begins.
Nothing like some Friday morning football gambling college football to really get you excited.
Just to clarify, you bet the money line or you ATS?
Both. Money line. The only problem is telling you I bet the money line. I bet it -155. It's -230. So
yep.
That's not really useful information. But I did lay 6 and 6.5 as well. So that's still available. My football play this weekend, I really like the Rams. It's also a fade against the Jets. I've been fading the Jets pretty regularly. It's worked out more times than not. But the Rams all of a sudden have an outside shot at a home playoff game. That's unbelievable where they've been at the beginning of the season.
Hey, is this the first Rams-Jets game since that game in 2020? It's got to be.
Got to be, right?
So many of us lost in Survivor where the Rams were 17-point favorites. Oh, God. Don't remind me.
Glad to hear Jason's on this game with me. I don't think I've heard anybody else on this side this week. It was making me feel a little shaky.
I love it.
You're on the Rams
this weekend. Then the other thing to keep in mind, I just I'm looking at these teams that are either eliminated or basically eliminated. You know, a line like Lions Bears, obviously it's going to be one of the most teased games of the week, but you know, I think you get a nice bounce back from the Lions this week.
Okay. I am on the Bears myself. I hope you are incorrect, or at least keep it within the number, that's for sure. Jason, thank you for the Arkansas Pine Bluff and women's basketball tip with travel. We appreciate that. Have a good weekend.
No problem. Have a good weekend.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia, Felica, Fezzik, Dr. Bob, next on A Numbers Game.